Welcome back to the HuddPost podcast. I'm excited about my next guest. I looked up Jersey City in the dictionary and his photo was in there.
That's my guy. That's my guy. Yeah,
born and raised in Jersey City, a graduate of St. Peter's Prep, was first elected to Jersey City Council in 1985 and then elected to Hudson County Commissioners in 1997. He's in his eighth term and now he's running for mayor of Jersey City.
I actually think I'm in my ninth term, but who's counting?
All right. How's it going today?
Good. Very good.
Good. I'm glad for you to be here. I'm excited to talk to you and get to know a little bit about you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So one question I always like to ask, especially people who are born and raised Hudson County, tell me what growing up in Jersey City was like for you and what type of child were you?
I used to get in trouble a lot in school. I mean, I was forced to go to Catholic school. So I went to St. Joe's Grammar School. You mentioned St. Peter's Prep. But I was an altar boy and a patrol boy at St. Joe's. So I used to have to get up early in the morning because back then they had 6:30 mass. And the same seven or eight people used to come to every mass. So I'm sure they all went to heaven. My fate is still undecided. I grew up on Baldwin Avenue. I went to St. Joe's. We used to play football outside on the front of the grass where the old courthouse is. It was an abandoned, vacant building back then. I may have, I don't recall, snuck in there once to play like hide and seek. But that was a long, long time ago. And then across from that, we had a bowling alley. We used to go bowling on Saturday. And there was actually a youth center on the same corner of Newark and Baldwin. And as a kid growing up, I went there for a few years, played on the local basketball team from there. And that's one of the big reasons why when I announced I was running for mayor, it's important for me to at least create one youth development center in each ward of Jersey City. Obviously, they're going to do some different activities than when I was a kid, but they'll do some of the same activities that we did back then, recreation. You know, we did board games. Now, obviously, it's more video games.
Yes.
And then when I was 13 or 14, we moved to the west side. I lived on Fairview, which is three blocks from Lincoln Park. And ever since then, I've lived within five blocks of Lincoln Park. And when I became a commissioner, or then they had it used a different term, they called them freeholders.
Freeholder, yes.
I loved the fact that was a county park. And I've done so much great capital improvements and programming there, working with the community throughout that neighborhood and throughout Jersey City.
Tell me how you got involved in politics, you know, playing football and sneaking into the abandoned buildings to now.
I wasn't a football player. I was only a decent basketball player. I was good, but when I stopped growing, my advantage under the basket kind of went away. So how I got into politics was I always kind of felt how politicians did good things for people and did good things for the community. Mm-hmm. So like my first summer job, my first real job was delivering the Jersey Journal. I learned how to own my own business at the age of 12. That's pretty good. But my first summer job was working in Lincoln Park as a park worker. And one of the local political leaders is Reverend Cologne, who went on to become a city councilman years later. Actually, after I was a city councilman, he knew my dad from the post office and he got me that position. And when I was younger, I grew up with Robert Byrne. He's a city clerk who passed away a year or two ago. We lived two blocks away from each other. His dad was a ward leader and his dad took me to my first baseball game. And every year him and Willie Wolf used to do a Christmas party for the kids at the Lowe's Theater. So all those kind of connections made me love politics because I always saw it as politicians helping people. So my first thought was I went to a neighborhood meeting, the Fairview Avenue Block Association. The councilman was there. I was like, you know, teenager, like a 19-year-old. It's like, man, I could do that job. And I got elected to serve on a community action advisory board. So I was on that board. We funded or approved the funding for things like the youth centers. So I got to get involved in it. I started a group called Citizens Against Crime with a couple of my college buddies. And I started going to council meetings. And we started to put out releases for different ordinances. Remember, we pushed a no public drinking ordinance. We pushed a minimum policing ordinance that there'd be a minimum number of police officers. So I just kind of got engaged that. And then I got involved in the election in 81, became an aide to Councilman Tom Frischone. And 4 years later, by the redistricting that was done, I found myself and the councilman were in different wards. So it created an opportunity to run. I ran with Tony Cucci. And that was how I became the youngest city councilman.
Having this experience, I think you have more of the behind-the-scenes look than probably most people in Hudson
That's
County.
That's why I wrote a book.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I definitely have seen the book. I it's a thicker book. I'm not such a good reader, so I need to get
Today's
through it.
Today's day and age, and I got to read it. I got to read it so you can listen to it. Actually, I have a – I was reading – I can't give you all the details, but I was reading an email last night. So I worked with a doc filmmaker out of New York to convert the book into scripts.
Amazing.
So we have a pilot. We have a story Bible. We have an entertainment lawyer out of L.A. or out of California. And we have a prospective individual who's won an Emmy Award. Actually, the doc filmmaker's won an Emmy Award too. But for his writing, he's done 3 significant miniseries. And now they're looking to talk to a production group to put together the dollars to hire on the writer. And the writer's read the script and he's read the book. We've done a couple of calls with him. He's got ideas to make it so much better. And so that's a little exciting sidelight.
That is exciting. Well, if you're looking for a young Bill O'Day, I'm on the market for an acting job. You let me know.
There you go. But no, inside. I mean, and a lot of it's just insider information. And some of it were storylines from the late 1960s and early 70s. It's all historical fiction. From individuals that I think almost every one of them has passed away now, who told me some of the real inside, stuff that got people in trouble.
Great segue into my question. Give me a, behind the scenes look of, how politics has changed from when you started or now even the stories that you've heard compared to, the 2025.
I mean, I guess technology's changed it a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many more things that are the way information is communicated changed a lot. Like, newspapers were everything. We'd look to see what was in the newspaper. And you had deadlines. If you didn't get the news in by 8 in the evening, you had to lose a day. I remember I sat on the planning board, and the Jersey Journal couldn't always – I can't get in trouble because the Jersey Journal's
– They're not around. Yeah, we're good.
But I was on the planning board, and they would ask me to call the story in. So I would literally be a reporter.
You were reporting, is it?
At a planning board meeting. And once somebody disputed something I said – and it turned out I was right. I accurately caught it. So obviously that world's gone, right? Now you've got people reporting it in the audience, right? You've got people that are bloggers reporting stuff in real time. So that I think is the biggest change. I mean, the backside of stuff, the conversations that occur to get things done are pretty much the same. I think there was a lot of transparency then. And there is now. When I was first a councilman, this was unprecedented. It never happened before. I know it hasn't happened since. Mayor Cucci, because we were not elected yet, had us come to a meeting in a room, and anyone there could nominate and second a name for a director. And whoever the majority of the people voted for became that director, as opposed to the mayor just picking a name and putting it forth to be voted on. So that was kind of taking democracy to a level that I haven't seen since. But communication, I think, is the biggest change in how we communicate to people. There wasn't social media. There wasn't an ability for an elected official on their own to get all that information out. You had to make phone calls, a lot more door knocking and ringing bells. And, I find myself now more as we go out and knock on doors that not as many people answer them. So I think that's a byproduct of the change of how people get information also.
Well, speaking about that, on the topic of, the Jersey Journal, local news, and how information has changed, have you seen a change in, for the better or worse, now that information is easier to get around and you have so many outlets like the Hudson County View, Hudson County TV, the Jersey City Times, do you find it that to be beneficial?
Look, I think they both are good. I think in the perfect world, we'd have a newspaper back still, right? I think older people still read the paper. I can see from Mikey Sherrill's campaign, she's done a couple of newspapers that they've mailed out to people on issues. So, no, but I like the fact that people's voices are easier to be heard. that you've got media outlets that get information out quicker. I'm not going to name any of them, but some of them I think can step up even more, right? They kind of generally just publish press releases. And that, you know, that I think that doesn't do them as much credit as I think they could get. So, there were more kind of investigative reporting, I think, then than there is now. And in full disclosure, my sister's Colleen O'Day. She works for NJ Spotlight. So.
And we love NJ Spotlight. Great nonprofit news. Definitely a great relationship with them.
Even someone who had a book published, I'm only the second best writer in my own family. I tell people that all the time.
Now, tell me what your relationship is like with the other candidates. It seems like all the candidates get along. And I don't know if it's because the runoff or you guys generally get along.
I think there's a little bit of that, right? I think there's a little bit that we need to help. I think, you know, it's like in a boxing ring, right? So inside the ring, you're one way, and outside the ring, I think you're a little bit different. So, uh-huh. Yeah, I don't see any yet. I've still got a couple of weeks. Real animosity. I've seen some tension. I think at the Hudson media debate that Schungler was the moderator of, there was some tension. I've seen some tension at a couple of debates. I know I had tension at the end with Governor McGreevy at the NAACP debate. But, you know, for the most part, my difference is I think I'm less rehearsed. Uh-huh. And I think I have a little bit more fun when I can. I try to have a little bit more fun, as you've seen.
Definitely.
In debates.
I think you were the first one to get a laugh for the whole night. So,
there you go.
For sure.
And last night we had one, and I opened with some laughs because it was the performing arts. And I talked about I was the only performing artist on the stage, and I told them all the community theater roles that I did. And then I explained the reason I did it is because the people that were local nonprofits that did it knew they could sell a couple hundred tickets off my name. So I wasn't cast from a large group of potential actors to play. And I played like Lyndon Johnson. I played F.W. de Klerk. So I was pretty honest about that.
So we might see a cameo in your own movie, is what we're saying.
Well, I did. So if you want to Google it, if you Google on YouTube, it should be on YouTube. It's called Meet the Pitts. It was a sitcom pilot that I helped write and produce. It never was made it to the mainstream or any television network, but it did win the best sitcom pilot many years ago at the New York International Film Festival.
That's amazing. We had a cool
screening at the movie theater in New York. And I did have a cameo in that.
That's awesome. Definitely got to check that out and share it with the followers as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of funny. It's funny. It's a little offbeat. The guy that was the director of it, you know, it was a little bit offbeat, but it was fun. It was funny.
How do you see yourself as, you know, you were once the youngest city council now versus your age now? What do you see the pros and cons of becoming a young, ambitious person versus now a seasoned and experienced politician?
I think that I've learned to stand and be independent, right? I mean, I've run against a political organization a total of 5 times and won, but I haven't had to fight them in 20 years because they realize it made no sense for them to try to get rid of me, because they spent a lot of money trying to do that. So that's allowed me to more work within systems, never yielding my independence, get a lot more things done, you know, within county government. And I'm not going to give you the litany of it from, you know, starting a warming center after the city shut it down in 3 weeks and it's still existing better than ever and ever with health and mental health services out in Kearney, working with them to start a step down unit during COVID across the street from Christ Hospital that I guarantee saved thousands of lives by freeing up 100 hospital beds for people that you couldn't release back out into the community, whether they were homeless, whether they were victims of domestic violence. But you freed up hospital beds because you gave them a step down unit to go in, to free summer camps in the park and all the improvements in the park. I've been able to learn to work within that world and have the respect to do it. When I was younger, you know, I think you were less concerned about building the bridges. You know, in my book, I have a quote that says, as I've gotten older, I've learned, though it's easier to blow bridges up, it's more fulfilling to build bridges. So I think that I become a better bridge builder. Though on an issue like, you know, renewing the ICE contract, I kind of went off to the deep end and was back to the young all day. And at a recent meeting, when I thought there was a resolution that I needed to get on about saving Christ Hospital, and they were not going to let me bring it up at the caucus, I reverted a little bit to at least to the early commissioner freeholder days on it. But in the end of the day, we worked it out. It got passed. Uh-huh. They made some changes, and it worked out. So.
Now, throughout these years, what do you think is the biggest misconception you've had about yourself?
So I didn't realize until maybe a year or so ago when somebody told me that I've been able, because you talked about from then to now, that I've been able to develop emotional intelligence. In fact, when somebody told me that, honestly, I had to look up what emotional intelligence was. But obviously, and I think that when I was younger, it was harder for me, and I think that this isn't the case with younger generations, to kind of express my feelings. You know, when I was a young kid, like if my father saw me cry, was something wrong with me. So as I was even an adult and even an elected official, that expression of emotion was difficult, and I would correct myself not to want to express my emotion. But, I've learned that's okay now. I've learned it's okay to express my emotion, to choke up, maybe even shed a couple of tears now and then. So I think that's one of the biggest ones. And I wear having emotional intelligence as a badge of goodness and honor, not like I'm kind of a little wimpy.
I wanted to remind you, so I wanted to hear about this St. Peter's Prep story that you had for us.
All right, so this is a funny story, but think if this happened today, what would happen?
Okay.
So I was a freshman at St. Peter's Prep. There was a freshman building on one side of the street and then the main building. So we were coming back from the freshman building, and the young Frank Catania was his name. He was the quarterback of the freshman football team. I was taller than him, but he was quarterbacks. And for whatever reason, we either brushed up against each other and we kind of shoved each other. So the priest came over and said, "You two guys, I want you to go to the gym. You're going to meet me in the gym. Meet in the gym at 3 p.m. So we went to the gym at 3 p.m. and there were like 100 students there. So what did they do? They put headgear and boxing gloves on us. And we literally boxed for 15 minutes. There were no rounds. The priest was off to the side. There was no referee. And if you think about it, if that happened today, priest would be arrested, right?
It
would
be headlines. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a fun story. And years later, because they literally had us boxed till we couldn't hold our arms up anymore. Mm-hmm. So years later, like, I told Frank, "Man, you really gave me a beating that day." And he's like, "No, you really gave me a beating, because they literally just made us box until we couldn't hold our arms up anymore." So you can imagine if something like that happened today, what would occur? So talk about how things have changed.
Things have definitely changed.
I think that's a great great story too.
Now talk about the past. I think it's a great question for this one. What does the future of Jersey City look like under Bill O'Day?
I think you got a mayor that's hands-on. No disrespect to anybody else. I'm all about hands-on. Literally today I was driving on the boulevard and there was a woman who appeared to be like passed out on the steps of in front of a florist on Clendenny and the boulevard. And I got out, the good advantage of being in office is I called the district commander and said, "Could you send a unit there?" I went over. The woman had just got released early in the day from Christ Hospital. It appeared that she may have been, strung out or on some substance. I was able to get her up and I said, "Hey, are you all right? I've got somebody coming." And she said, "I'm hungry. I haven't eaten." Went down the block, got her a buttered roll and a coffee with milk and four sugars. And by the time I walked back, the ambulance went too far. Then they came back. I went and got them. Police officer pulled up and, I'm sure they took care of her. So that's me. Like, that's kind of the way I was raised as a kid. And I think as the mayor, that's the kind of mayor you're going to have. So when I see DPW workers doing a good job, I'm going to get out and say, "Hey, thank you," and whatever. Maybe I got to buy them a cup of coffee. But if I see DPW workers sitting in the truck, sitting in the quick check, I might get out and say, "Guys, what's going on? Aren't you supposed to be, trimming trees, cleaning the park, whatever?" And I do that in Lincoln Park. If I see on a Monday morning, or even a Sunday afternoon, right, because we don't have as many crews on, a garbage container with garbage on top of it, I call the director and somebody, which is great, and Jonathan DeFilippo in parts, they'll have somebody there in 5 minutes to clear that up. So I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a mayor who's hands-on, who's going to have fun, I know you're going to see, you know, you're going to see me. I was at a senior building this week for bingo. And one of the ladies there had been at one of the events where I think I sang Soul Man. So I broke out in an a cappella version of Soul Man and did the whole song and got some applause at the end. There's been places where they've been, okay, thank you, goodbye. But it was a mic dropper. And then when I walked out of there, there's a gentleman that I had seen earlier, and there was a chessboard. So I had like 20 minutes to kill, which is rare. So we played a nice game of chess. So I think you're going to see kind of that different side. But just always working, right? Like working to solve problems. One of the things that I might critique myself is that no matter what the problem is, I got to figure a way to solve it. Like there are people that, you know, I've gotten to my phone now, 3 or 4 people that are going to be evicted by the end of the month and I need a place to go. And I try to have myself and staff try to find places, but it stays on your mind. You know, it stays every day. How can I help it? And unfortunately, sometimes you're not able to get things done as quickly as they need to get done. I think that will always bug me and weigh on me. So.
During my last two podcasts, I spoke with James Solomon and Musab Ali, and they both are predicting a runoff election. And Ali released an internal poll saying that he's in second place now.
He told me he's in second and I'm in third. That's what he told me yesterday.
I had a twofold question. One, do you believe the poll? Two, do you believe it's going to be a runoff?
It's definitely a runoff. There's guaranteed to be a runoff. I can't think that there wouldn't be a runoff. Unless I have the entire poll book and know who people called. And when that question is, what you see is people will say good things about themselves, bad things about everybody else, and then ask you the same question. So that's not a real poll. Right? We did that. When we did that in our poll, I was at 40%. Just to give you a comparison. I don't know where Musab was in that particular one. So, you know, we're very confident we'll be in the run.
Amazing. All right. So I guess with the last one, I'll leave you with the last word on, you know, what you want our HUD Post audience to know and the greater Jersey City area to know about Bill O'Day and November 4th.
I'm a 24/7 guy. Care about Jersey City. I've been doing this since I was, like you said, started when I was 22 at Council 8. I have experience. Not only legislative experience, you know, we didn't talk about the fact that I run a not-for-profit development company that works to get affordable housing developed. I know how to finance affordable housing, really know how to do it, not just throw numbers out, but show you on a piece of paper the economics of it. I was literally working on one today in my office, but also grants and small businesses to small businesses, and even neighborhood revitalization efforts. So I bring that administrative and management expertise also to the stage, which I think is critical for whoever the mayor is of Jersey City. So given the opportunity, I'm going to make a lot of tough decisions, but I'm at a point in my career that I don't mind making. I'm not going to look about, worry, oh, what do I have to do to get reelected? I think that would hurt Jersey City right now, and other candidates are going to do that. And I'm certainly not going to worry about running for some other office.